Let me hear you say potty, 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 potty.
Potty, 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 potty.
I want to see your potty, potty.
Jesus Christ. This is a practical impossibility. What kind of a stupid idea is that? It's ringing.
Ray, right. Love the show.
This is the Ray Foley Podcast.
Ireland, I'm so sorry. This is ridiculous.
Who's in the mud for, who's in the mud for a pod? Who's in the mood for a poot? It's a pod party. It's a potty, potty. Hello there, I'm Ray Foley. There's my friend JP.
How are you doing?
And I'm on Instagram, at Ray Foley Insta. You can email jp at todayfm.com for any of your correspondence. Or indeed, you can hop onto the Today FM app at any stage. At a time that suits you. You can be listening to this there now, or you can listen back to our radio show there as well. The whole show, unfiltered, unfettered, unedited, and largely unlistenable. But if it's something you want to put yourself through, that is a feat of endurance, please, by all means, listen back on the Today FM app, the daily program there, or turn us on Today FM or todayfm.com. How are things?
Good, great man.
Yeah, everything's good, man. The way men talk to each other, that way of, so how are you getting on? How have you been since? I haven't seen you since before Christmas.
Yeah, no, good. All good, man. Yeah.
How's work?
Yeah, no, good, man. Yeah, good, man. Good one. Yeah,
good, dude.
Yeah.
Listen, dude, I got to say, dude, you're really hopping out of the radio. I heard the show the other day.
Cheers.
I think it was you guys. You were doing a quiz about, it was a quiz about space. Was that you guys? It was about space and astronauts. Was that you guys?
No, I don't think we did a quiz on space.
Sputnik no, and the dog.
No, I've said no a few times now.
Yuri Gagarin.
No, not this show, guy. Somebody else was sounding great, but thanks for listening to the radio anyway.
It's you and your man. You're chatting and
it's not though.
You're chatting to each other and you did a quiz on space.
Not on this show, no. It's Today FM, you know.
Today FM. Right, yeah, definitely had
not the one in New Zealand or wherever else. In Ireland.
I was thinking the songs are really good and good chat, and the space thing. No, that wasn't G. That must have been someone.
No.
Jesus, I'm awful embarrassed now.
Good to hear somebody else is doing good stuff, though.
Do you ever hear that? Do you ever get that? I get that all the time, which is, I heard your show the other day. I heard the thing where you did a thing. And either they're listening to someone else, which they've loved, and then I have to do the thing of like, it happens to myself all the time. Or even worse, they're talking about a thing that I have done on the radio in the last 10 days that I have zero recollection of. And I'm sitting there with them. I've been in taxis and the taxi driver is talking me through an entire bit that you and I have done in the last fortnight. And I wouldn't have a breeze. I'm sitting there in the passenger seat looking at him like, huh? Slackjawed. Like, I don't even think that sounds like something I would do.
People out in the office say that to me. They say, oh, I heard the thing you did yesterday. And they describe like, is that something we did? Actually, I was talking to somebody yesterday who said, very kind thing, said, loved the show, which was a great start.
Right.
And then he asked a question that I have been asked before, where he said, come here, just between you.
And Ray had sex? How many times have you had sex?
That is the other question.
What
that
does
comes
Ray's
up.
Balls look like naked?
And I correct him and say, what do Ray's balls look like?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, what do? Yeah, yeah.
No, he said, and I have been asked this before, he said, like when you're talking to each other, like, have you got all of that worked out?
Written down.
Is that scripted? And yeah. I was like, if that was scripted, it would want to be a lot better than it is, you know?
I remember someone saying to, slagging me off on, DMs, someone who hates me, obviously, giving me stick on DMs. And they were saying, your show's so crap, it's so scripted. And I'm like, yeah, I'll take it. Fine. I'll accept your view that it's crap. You're entitled to your opinion. But the notion that it's crap, that it's in any way scripted, that it's in any way written down, or like that we've got a sheet of paper with paragraphs on it, and one paragraph has JP written next to it, and the other, the next one
it's
has
color coded. Yeah.
That's impossible. It's impossible.
Could it be that people hear the kind of, could you call them catchphrases, hits ringing or love the show, and then they think there's a scripting element? I don't know.
Did I tell you about Karen Koster?
About her?
I met Karen not so long ago. Did I tell you about the It's Ringing with Karen Koster?
No.
So I met
TV's Karen Costner.
TV's
formerly
Virgin Media. Well, she still does a bit. Yeah, she still pops up on the telly. My former colleague in Virgin Media Television, Karen Costner, met for a coffee and a bite to eat. Lovely to see her. Great chats. And she said she listens all the time to the radio show. And I was like, Jesus, that's amazing. Because I genuinely have a thing of like, I don't expect anybody to be listening. We're just doing it and crossing our finger. We're putting it out there and crossing our fingers, hoping someone engages.
Can I just stop you mid-flow and continue with the story? But when somebody says, I listen to the show all the time, I don't believe them. I have a reflex. One, I kind of don't believe them. And two, I have to say something that slags off the show and say, oh, geez, I don't. Or there are other options available is my go-to. I just say, well, you know, there are other radio
What's
shows.
What's that about?
I don't. We're Irish. We don't like to get. Yeah.
But we are like.
Nice thing said to us.
This is the funny juxtaposition about us. More specifically, me is that I know we're great. That's why I do it. I know we're great. We've worked really hard at it to get good at it. And I know...
Is it great? Because I can't cannot listen to it.
For me, there's loads of rubbish as well in it. But there are some great bits that I'd be really, really proud of. I'd be delighted with. And it's the type of thing that I like hearing and the type of thing that I like doing, right? So there's that. There's the, like, I know we're great. But every fiber of my being is riddled with... Oh my God, this is so awful. And a compliment, like you say, of, geez, I listen all the time or find it so funny. I was at the first Holy Communion last weekend and a bunch of them were like, oh, I heard the thing, oh, the thing was so funny. Or the thing that JP said, it was so fun. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, other options are available. Or God love you having to put through. Or what's the one that it's like, oh, is it a work thing that you're not allowed to change the radio? So the manager has it on. We've got the list of, I can't possibly accept that compliment. Anyway, sorry, where were we going?
Karen Costner and It's Ringing.
The Karen Costner, It's Ringing thing. So we're chatting away. I listen all the time. I do the usual, I'll stop. Jesus, that's very nice of you to say. And she said, no, seriously, on the school run, I'd always have you guys on because it's just the right time. And she says, come here, I have a question to ask you. And I go, yeah, what? Sure, anything, you name it. And she says, you know, the It's Ringing thing. And I say, yeah, here we go. Because sometimes people might go, it's a, you know, what's that about? Why did you do that? What's that, you know? And I was expecting, she's going to have an opinion or she's going to think it's rubbish or it's, where did that come from? Or what's that? Her question about that. She's like, yeah, what? She says, how do you know to say it at exactly the same time as each other? And I was like, well, we're looking at each other.
Yeah. And I can see your mouth is about to open.
Yeah.
It's and there's also a big long lead into it.
Yeah, also, it's literally ringing. Mm. So it's like, ring, ring, it's ringing. That's it. And so I practiced it with her in the cafe over breakfast.
Did she nail it?
She got it on the first go.
Perfect.
And then she understood that it was literally like, it's ringing. That's it. There's no secret to it. There's no method to the magic. There's no peek behind the curtain. It is literally just saying the words. It's ringing at the same time. You can do it with anyone. You can try it out at home. Hey, even your kids can play along. It's it's something anyone can do. And we proved that on a daily basis. The other thing that I thought you were going to say is when someone says they listen, you immediately have less respect for them. Do you have that at all? That there's an inkling of, oh, God love you.
Right, okay.
you choose to listen. Oh, yeah, okay. Because I'm so deeply insecure myself that someone might make the decision to listen in. It's like, oh, my God, God love you. God help you.
I am probably more comfortable with somebody who says, I don't listen to your show and I don't know the show.
Yeah.
Or in a crowd of people who say, oh, no, I don't really know.
Well, you've nothing to live up to then.
And you don't have to say anything.
Yeah. There's no established... established preconceptions about you or who you are based on having listened to the show. Like when a taxi driver says, oh, I don't listen to the radio. I have Spotify on or I listen to 5 Live for the sport. Then it's almost like, ah, oh, great. And I also have a line for that, which is, sure, I wouldn't listen either.
Exactly. I'd say the same thing myself.
You couldn't pay me to listen. And then there's the stalker element as well, which is like when someone says, oh, I listen to your show all the time. I never miss it. I hear every single word. Like, come here. How's Andrew getting on in school? You said he was having a hard time with the ADHD.
Mentioning the kids.
And it's like, oh my God. Then you're getting into Baby Reindeer turret. Mm. Well, not Baby Reindeer. I mean, that's a whole other level. Have you finished it yet, Baby Reindeer?
I have not watched the TV show. Weirdly, I've done it backwards. I've watched the Piers Morgan interview with that lady, but I have not watched the series. Maybe I will. Everyone I talk to says, you think it's going to be funny and it's not funny.
No,
it's not comedic.
Even the bits that are supposed to be funny because he's a comedian starting off on his career, they're awful. Like there are bits of stand-up that he's doing and it's like, oh God, I'm dying for this dude. You're crushing my soul with this humiliating experience up on stage. It's just, the thing is with Baby Reindeer as well, and I haven't finished it. I've got two more episodes to go. There isn't a single young reindeer appearing in it at all.
Right, let down. Okay.
At all yet.
Okay, well, maybe they're holding on for the last
episode. There aren't even any adult reindeer so far.
Right.
I don't know where they're going with the reindeer business. No, the baby reindeer thing is a nickname she had for him. He was as cute as a baby reindeer. That's where it's from. But yeah, for anyone that's watched it, it's just a series of small little incidents that build up into this huge, like it takes over his life, this incident, this situation that he finds himself of being stalked by this woman. And then, sure, everyone's aware of it at this stage, the alleged real life woman who's portrayed in the Netflix drama was on Piers Morgan's show. She did a big interview there. The thing that I felt throughout watching the show, though, and even listening to the interview with Piers Morgan, was how does someone, I can't imagine being in the headspace. Like, there's things I like. There's even people that I like. But I can't ever imagine being in a situation where I'm utterly fixated. Like, you'd be talking about, like, on the scale of the messaging or even, you know, sending direct messages or emails or texts on such an industrial scale, you'd have to be up all night. You'd have to be awake 24 hours. You'd have to be devoting your life to it. And watching that, watching it going, I can't understand how you could either be or get to the stage of being like that.
Well, I suppose most of us, and myself included, get a little bit obsessed about things or sports or pastimes. I'm a little bit obsessed about golf. So we have an obsession in us, most of us do, an ability to be obsessed. We rarely transfer that onto
a
human. Mm. And then when you see it in something like Baby Reindeer, that just takes it to the level that's after the next level. I mean, it's off the charts.
The other thing as well, as you're watching, like I say, it's a series of small things, small, tiny, innocuous things, and they snowball into something much bigger. That, like, you're the third thing. Of course, I know it's a show about stalking, right? But like the third little micro thing that he's doing where he's, I don't know, giving her a free Coke, or he's saying, are you all right? Or she gets upset and he goes, oh, no. I'm watching it going, no, now back off now.
Stop.
I know
stop.
Where this is going. Let me call my stalking guy, my Cork stalking guy. She doesn't specify, I'm just Cork stalking. She does all of the stalking. Okay. One moment.
It's ringing.
That was perfect. That was a good one. We can do it again. It's ringing. Now, Karen Coster.
Hello.
Hello, is that Kira?
It's speaking.
Hi, Kira. Ray Foley calling from Today FM. How are you?
I'm very good, thanks. Ray, lovely to speak to you.
You too. No one ever says that. So, it's a very nice reaction. You know, unless they're being totally disingenuous, which you might be, Kira, for all.
You're a Cork man at heart, aren't you, Ray?
I'm adopted. I'm an adoptee. my adopted home county. This is Dr. Kira Staunton, by the way, the coordinator for the Diploma in Psychology of Criminal Behaviour at UCC. And you did the UCC's 2023 report, Stalking and Harassment, an Investigation of Experiences in Ireland. And you are exactly the person to talk to about this, because
right.
The thing I have found, we were talking not just about the Piers Morgan interview, but about the show itself. And with each passing episode of Baby Reindeer, I found myself like, in the course of the first episode, as it, as they're establishing what's going on in the this whole list of stalking incidents, you're like, in the first episode, and like I say, they're establishing it, you're like, oh, what's going on here? And with each little baby step, as it sort of snowballs into obviously a series and a life story for this guy,
yeah,
that you're thinking, nah, but this can't be real. It can't be. And watching the various moments and the little episodes and or instances of stalking, you're like, ah, no, but people, someone wouldn't really do that. And how does a person become the type of person that does that? But people do, Ciara.
Yeah, well, there's an awful lot going on there, right?
Yeah.
But you're right. It wasn't a kind of an emotional roller coaster watching that show. You don't know whether to look away. You don't know if it's real. You don't know if it could be possible. But I can tell you this, based on the research that we have done, the incidences of stalking that were presented on that show are very real.
Wow.
And they are very common among those who have experienced stalking. So you have the person showing up uninvited, you know, that kind of constant surveillance. These are unwanted behaviors, we would categorize them.
Yeah.
So people who are loitering around the person who is loitering. And you see, what is complex is that often that person is somebody you know. There are different kind of profiles of stalkers and different profiles of stalking cases. But the one that was highlighted in the show is, first of all, that but different because the person experiencing it is a male in this instance and the stalker is a female.
Okay, yeah.
So while that is less common than the majority of cases whereby the male perpetrator and the woman is usually a current or ex-partner, this one was slightly outside of that scenario.
Yeah.
So that's what made it interesting. But the experience highlighted, it was very real and very true to life of many men who have experienced that kind of behavior. What I liked about the show is that it highlighted the complexity of the relationship whereby he's empathetic towards her. He feels a bit sorry for her. He thinks he's doing the right thing, but inadvertently, he's opening himself up to being manipulated by this individual. And that very quickly escalates into an abuse of power between them, whereby she starts to maintain all the power. And she plays that character, that actress plays that very well, that kind of mix of being vulnerable and needing him to being a high risk and a loose cannon, and you never know from moment to moment what she might be capable of. And that also is what we see typical in stalking cases, where there is a very real risk to the person being stalked, the risk of violence is ever present, and sadly, in many cases of women especially who have been murdered by current or former partners, yeah, stalking will have been a feature of that process up until that point. So it's a very serious situation.
Like I say, watching it, and of course, it makes for such compelling drama and television that you can't take your eyes off it. And it does have that, like I said, that element of like, how real could this be? When you said there about her, the stalker, having the power, and by the way, we could be talking in this instance, and in the context of Richard Gadd and his stalker, it was a woman, but it's very, very often the other way around. So we can just talk in those terms if you want, the stalker and the stalked or the stalkee. But the thing that you mentioned about them having the power or the vulnerability, there being a power in the vulnerability of she needed in this case help from him, or he was just being kind, and that kindness then, her vulnerability gave her. Is that a conscious thing that the stalker engages it? Like, do they know they're doing it, or is this just something they're doing reflexively, or they're just doing it automatically?
That's a really intuitive question, Ray. I need an hour to maybe go get really into that, but sometimes it's unconscious. Depending on the person, the stalker, sometimes it's not. So it can be very manipulative. And again, you see, this leads us down the avenue of understanding maybe the motivation to stalk in the first instance and where that's coming from. And then you are looking at different typologies of stalkers. So at one end of the spectrum, we have individuals who are very much suffering from severe mental health or some kind of psychiatric illness. Mm. And that is not a reason for the stalking, but it helps to explain why they might be engaging in behaviours that actually do constitute stalking. So, for example, they are deluded into thinking that they could potentially have a relationship with the person that they're stalking, who usually is a stranger, and it's not going to happen, or it's a celebrity, so it's certainly not going to happen. So that's one end of the spectrum. On the other end of the spectrum, you have what we would call stalkers who are more predatory in their nature. And in those instances, every action that they take is highly conscious. They know exactly what they're doing, and it is designed to manipulate. It is designed to exert fear and control over the person. And they are conversely psychologically motivated because it is thrilling to them. It is that aspect of power and control and dominance over the lives of the person they're stalking that is psychologically satisfying to them. And then in the mix of that, you've got other potential topologies. So, you know, this is what is so complex about stalking. It's not one thing. It's a process, and it's not the same thing for everybody who has experienced it.
Yeah, because that was going to be one of my questions for you. Like, is there a type of person or a type of like an upbringing or a type of background that or a particular experience that someone has been through maybe when they were a kid or, you know, when they were growing up that makes them more inclined to be this to be a stalker? But there isn't necessarily.
There is and there isn't. Okay. I mean, we know from understanding crime in general that there are a lot of common characteristics among individuals who either go on to commit any kind of criminal offence, as well as those who end up suffering from severe mental health illness, that there are common factors.
What would they be?
Well, we're really talking here about adversity in childhood and trauma.
Okay.
So people will understand the term trauma. We're understanding more and more about trauma and the impacts of trauma on the developing brain and bodies of young children. But essentially, there are 10 what we consider adverse childhood experiences that we have to focus on to be trauma-informed in all our approaches to understanding crime and mental ill health. And these are things like childhood neglect, childhood physical abuse, emotional abuse, sexual abuse, childhoods where families have mental illness within the family, where there's criminality within the family, where there's poverty within the family, where there may be parental separation or divorce. So those are most of what we consider. Now, the reality here is that there probably isn't a single person listening to this show who hasn't experienced at least one of those things. That's the first thing to know. These are common to most of us, but it's the cumulative effect of four or more of those traumas in any one individual's life, which just makes them more vulnerable. I'm not going to say cause, but makes them more vulnerable to either developing a mental health issue in adulthood or committing a crime. And again, I don't want to go too much into how that exactly happens because that is what is different from person to person.
Yeah.
So while I can't say there's any one person who is more inclined to become a stalker specifically, there are certainly commonalities in the backgrounds of individuals which might help explain what has led them to this point in their lives where these behaviours are becoming acceptable.
So yeah, it's not necessarily a flag or a predictor, but it's only after the fact really you can go back and look at and identify
that would explain how they
ended up on this course of action.
But you know something also, right? I think it's important to notice that actually it's some of those vulnerabilities about perpetrators which draws victims in the first place. So can you see how it's a double-edged sword?
Yeah.
So somebody, because again, in the typical scenario where the person who is perpetrating the stalking is the ex or current partner. So the victim then is usually the wife or partner or ex-girlfriend. And so they have this empathy. They, you know, they fell in love with this person maybe at one point and they were drawn to the vulnerability. But it's when that double-edged sword, when that vulnerability actually starts to become something which is dangerous. So for anybody listening, it's the point where any of the behaviours being perpetrated by the individual are becoming fixated. They're starting to become obsessive. They're starting to become controlling. Those are the red flags. So it's not necessarily the person's background, but it's the change in the behaviours. And I would urge all men and women to look out for that kind of change in behaviour in any relationship, especially new relationships.
Yeah.
Because the behaviours at the beginning of the relationship may be perfectly acceptable, or we call this love bombing. I mean, who doesn't want to have flowers sent to them at work? Who doesn't want somebody to show up unannounced because it makes you feel very special?
Yeah.
But if that continues over and above beyond what we might consider to be normal or acceptable within a relationship, then that becomes a red flag. So the behaviour, it's the subtle nuance and the point at which behaviours, which in and of themselves are not problematic, it's when they become problematic. From Baby Ranger, you know, she's arriving at the bar every day, she's sitting making chat. That in itself is non-threatening. But over time, it becomes obsessive and fixated, and he understands that. But third-party observers may not. So we need people to understand, and we certainly need the police to understand, that when somebody makes these complaints, they should be educated around the kind of questions they're asking to kind of establish that profile and really understand the true level of risk that the person might potentially be under.
Right, right. Well, there's two things there I have for you. One is the, well, this is the thing. Obviously Netflix drama. Like I say, it's episodic. And we're hooked on it, we're glued on it for the drama, right? And it's something that makes it different is that they are essentially strangers. It's one of these situations where they don't really know each other. But they, as you're describing it, a situation where your boyfriend is getting a bit too intense, or your ex-boyfriend, or I mean, just someone you're just seeing, it went from a few dates into a stalking situation. It's less, I suppose, less sexy. It's less dramatic, but it's much more pedestrian, I suppose, or much more sort of run of the mill, that it might be very easily overlooked, right? That it's like, he's my ex boyfriend, and or he's even my actual boyfriend, just being too much. But it might be very easy to go, well, he's a bit full on, but sure, that's my boyfriend. Or there might be an element as well of, I guess, well, maybe shame's going too far, but you'd be a bit kind of like, he's a bit much, but I'm not going to tell any of my friends about it because I'm putting up with this myself. He's the guy I started going out with.
Yeah, and that is exactly the issue, and that is exactly the situations we hear from women, and often push them, why didn't you extricate yourself from the relationship sooner? Well, because it's very hard to see it. You know, when you're in it, it's very hard to see it. And what tends to happen is men and women who experience this will tend to blame themselves first. So they're in the relationship, they feel a certain responsibility for the other person. They may know about a troubled background or what stress that their partner or ex-partner is under. So they will always maybe find a way to excuse the behaviour. And that is human nature. And this is where we're kind of vulnerable in many ways. So the only advice I would give is for people, maybe just talk it through with a friend. Because sometimes that kind of external lens can maybe help you identify this as, this is just him, or this is just him, but it's problematic.
Or
thinking that it's the problem part. And again, going back to what is the real purpose of the behavior, you know, because again, a lot of them, they're manipulative, and they can be playing on the person's emotions. And oftentimes there can be these kind of implicit threats. Or the person will, what the common feature in our research is where the perpetrator is threatening to harm themselves. So that is a psychological manipulation. So it's not that I'm going to harm you, it's I'm going to harm yourself. So now you are responsible if I do something to myself. And you know, that's damaging. So it's that kind of coercive control piece that is, again, omnipresent among a lot of these behaviours.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go next, is that it is a tool in the coercive control play, but I suppose the objective word being control, it is a form of control, and it is a way of controlling the other individual.
Exactly. And when I say control, we should be clear, I'm talking about psychological control. And there may not be physical restraints, although that could potentially happen, but there's control, you know, there may be financial control, there's caveats on the person's phone use, maybe, you know, when the person is showing up to their place of work and they have to account for themselves all the time, that's a form of control. But it's more, it's the psychological control is really where the victim understands exactly the hidden message behind some of the behaviours.
Yeah, and it might be just suggested, it might be a suggestion or a nod or the smallest, as we saw in the show, the slightest reference. That time you sent me that text, I could ruin your life now because you made the reference in the text. One tiny thing I wanted to say before I went on to the next thing as well, you say talk to your friends. Your friends might also be trying to talk to you and you might need to listen for them because a friend might not want to say necessarily. And I think we've all been in the situation where you want to say something about your friend's partner to your friend in a way that isn't going to drive you over the edge or start a row. So maybe be alert to your friend going, come here, what's the story with your man? Or, geez, he's a bit full on, isn't he? Or whatever. The other thing I want
Ray, maybe, and in terms of turning that into a piece of advice for people who might be concerned of friends, is maybe asking as in a more open-ended question, saying, how does it, I noticed that X does this, how does that make you feel? So give the friend an opportunity to maybe think, gosh, how does it make me feel? And that might make them open up.
Yeah.
So as a friend, you're not judging, you're just opening up the conversation and then being able to say, because I, from my perspective, I think that what he does there isn't very, or makes me feel uncomfortable. Do you know what I mean? So you're kind of just switching the balance there.
Giving them the chance.
And
similarly, when you're in it, at least from my own perspective, when I'm in something, I'm not actually thinking, I never stop to go, how do I feel about it? I'm just feeling it rather than actually stepping out of it and actually giving it some consideration. The thing that that comes up all like the whole way through this and like the numbers, the thousands of between the texts and the direct messages, the Facebook messages, clicking like on everything, commenting on everything, looking at previous relationships. I'm guessing that, well, your research was 2023, the report. I'm guessing that social media and the internet is like the single biggest tool in terms of stalking, is it?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. It really is. It takes on a whole new level because not only are we more accessible via social media channels, so it is another mechanism that the stalker can use to surveil you, but also to find out relevant information about you, right? Find out relevant information about family members. So it, again, it's one of those things that for all it's positive, there is a huge amount of negatives. But again, this goes back to just think about that. I mean, this is common, that level of messaging and surveillance, that is very common among stalkers. So when you think of it from the stalker's perspective, it just highlights to me how much time they are committing to this.
Yeah.
And if anybody's under any illusion, again, as to the real motivation behind the behaviours, you only have to look at the level of commitment they make to engaging in those behaviours. I mean, how much of your time
on a given job,
day
yeah.
would it... It is, when you think of it in that way. So again, that highlights why and how you should take this very seriously because it isn't something you can just write off saying, I didn't mean it like that. Sure, I was on, you know, like sending that amount of messages is highly problematic. And if anybody is in receipt of that kind of amount of messages in any one day, I would be asking them to really consider what is the point of this, you know, because again, that is, they're infiltrating your brain. They're trying to seep themselves into your consciousness and they're succeeding in doing that because they're ever present, every like button, every message, it's all letting you know that I know exactly what you're doing, where you're doing it, who you're with, et cetera, and that's the control part.
I'm well aware of every move you're making, everything you're when you're talking about the commitment of time and the you know, like you could see in some of the scenes, she was up all night clicking and commenting and liking stuff on Facebook.
The obsessive and fixated.
Right. The stalker is not in control of that. They're obviously, they're fully engaged in the obsession and the fixation. In terms of what you've seen, do these people, are they working? Like, I mean, where do they get the time to do it? Do they have jobs generally?
Well, that's the other side of it. In most instances, yes, but that wouldn't explain everybody. So until I do further analysis of kind of the cases and until we do further research on the perpetrators, That's actually a hard question to answer. And I suspect it lies again in the topology. So for those who are suffering from a major mental disorder or psychiatric illness, and they may or may not be working, versus those who fall into the predatory style of stalkers, those very well will much more likely to be working.
Right.
So again, it's different. That will depend on the case.
How do you safely? I'm sure you've seen. Well, there's been there's obviously horror stories where there's death and serious crime. How does it safely come to a conclusion? How do you? Is there a way that it could just fizzle out, or is there a? Does it have to go to the guards, or does it need to be the threat of the guards? How do you address it?
Well, go to the guards. We now have the legislation, so the guards are more empowered to be able to deal effectively with this. That legislation only came into effect last year. So sadly, there is for so many people, including all those in our research, that wasn't an option. And even for the half, almost 500 people who did go to the guards, many of them were dissatisfied with the service they received. Now, that's not to say the guards are particularly poor, but that may be the case, but also we didn't necessarily have the correct legislation. So a number of things, absolutely. First thing, start keeping a log of incidences that you're uncomfortable with, and bring that to the guards' attention. And start to, again, talk to a friend, talk to the charities, Women's Aid, the Sexual Violence Centre in Cork, or the Rape Crisis Centre. Again, the stalkinginireland.ie is a good website if people just want to some advice on how to proceed, or even just to think through if they have any kind of thoughts in their head saying, that's starting to sound a bit familiar, Now, the other side of this, Ray, is just, unless if the person is experiencing these behaviours, but they're not bothered by them, well, then there's no problem.
Yeah,
to note that you have to, and this is an important part of our research, these were individuals who self-disclosed all of this information because they identify themselves as being victims of stalking.
Yeah, victims of stalking. Yeah, exactly. So that website again, there's the Garda.ie is the website, and Stalking in Ireland, is it?
Stalkinginireland.ie.
.ie, yeah. You can get all the pointers there, and I suppose these are situations, and Women's Aid, of course, is an organisation that will be, the minute you start talking, they'll be able to go, we've been through this before, we know exactly what we're talking about here, and we can address it right away, yeah.
And I think that's also what our research has highlighted, that once we start generating official statistics, we will start to see just how prevalent this crime is.
Yeah.
We don't know. We can surmise that it is highly prevalent. We had over 1,000 people participate in our survey, which I think is very revealing in and of itself. I was certainly very surprised by that.
Yeah.
This goes to show that there's far more omnipresence, and also for men, that I didn't think we would have so many men participate. So it certainly is.
Yeah, so we'll get more as time goes on. We'll get more research and more numbers.
Exactly,
Kira. I'm running out of time. I've used up your entire afternoon. I could talk to you all day, and it's a fascinating. Do you know what? We never would have thought about it before, but for the fact that this thing has exploded on Netflix and now everyone's talking about it and thinking about the psychology of it.
That's why it's a good thing.
I'm looking forward to the next one. Yeah, this is your 2023 report. We'll read the next one once it's out. And you're at UCC, the coordinator for the Diploma in the Psychology of Criminal Behaviour at UCC. Kira, I'll call you next week and talk more about criminal behaviour, because I'm also fascinated by that. Thanks.
No problem.
I look forward to it.
Delighted.
Cheers, madam.
Take care, Ray.
A lovely day. All the best.
You too. Bye.
Much love. Bye. Okay, that's the podcast. Done. You can email jp@todayfm.com. Follow us on the gram at Ray Foley Insta or at todayfm. And we're on todayfm and todayfm.com. Download the app. We'll talk to you on the radio on Monday from 2. Have a lovely weekend.
Uh-oh. Ray Foley.
Oh, here we go. Here come the details.
Weekday afternoons from 2 on Today FM.
Ray.
Yeah.
I love the show.
Hey!